ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Football season kicks off right here at Big Oak Stadium. 2 weeks from Friday.
It's crazy.
Practice starts today. Hopefully we'll be getting a roster here pretty soon. Once they get the practice started, figure out who's who.
Yeah, a lot of them. Today's the first day everybody can practice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that Friday. And then today we get a lot of high school softball and baseball. I think today's the
getting
first
going.
Where they can get going. So, I mean, we're about to hit the ground running.
When did school start at Canute? This week?
Thursday.
It was supposed to start Thursday at Sarah. It's going to start next Thursday instead.
Why?
Construction projects that took just a tick longer than they thought over the summer. Which, I mean,
dang,
you can imagine.
Inflation.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm dealing with that right now.
If there was ever a time to, be able to go, well, you know, we couldn't get it. It was this summer, you know.
Yep.
Things were scarce, so
yep.
We got put just a little to finish up the finishing touches over there. So yeah, we're here. I mean, we are here. There was a pretty cool event, softball, on Friday. With the
was that Friday
the grudge match?
Yeah. You get any
the kids beat the parents. I do know that.
Well, we'd certainly hope that would be the case.
The kids did beat the parents.
Was it even close?
I didn't hear of any injury.
Parent injury, yeah.
Parent injuries. I didn't really hear of any of those. Everybody's hamstrings seemed to be intact, which I wasn't sure if that was going to be the case. But it sounded like a great time out there. Raised enough money to pay for uniforms, so
that's
great
good.
Job.
Good.
Really great job.
I know they have a festival today here in Elk, and a lot of area schools are in it.
Probably right now.
Probably.
Probably going on right now.
So today and tomorrow is a two-day thing, and a lot of games will be played. So, yeah, that's cool. That is cool.
What'd you do this weekend?
It's the first weekend in a very long time I have absolutely nothing to do. So I just did a lot of stuff around the house, nothing major. I watched the gold medal game Friday night. What did I do? Oh, well, I took advantage. I mean, really, it's not exciting, Aaron. It's not really radio exciting. I went and washed my truck Saturday. I took advantage of no tax weekend, went by and bought a shirt. I mean, that's about it. Cooked some burgers Saturday night.
Okay, you had a splash pad experience. Did you get to go on
that? I didn't go on that because before that, they being my wife, mother-in-law and my two girls, they went to Country Dove. And no offense, Country Dove, but that's not really my scene. So I said, okay, girls, you go to have your little ladies' lunch at Country Dove.
Tea party is what my little nieces call it.
Tea party, yes.
Let's go have a tea party.
And then afterwards, they went out to the splash pad. So that's when I just did my stuff, and that was it. So nothing too major. I kind of binged watched a show.
Watch one.
Now, you're going to laugh at me because we knock the sport on this show.
Oh, no.
Ted Lasso. It's about, you know what it's about.
Mm-mm.
It's about this guy, Ted Lasso, who was a college football coach in America. He gets hired to be the head coach of a soccer team in London.
Okay.
So it's like fish out of water, right? And you think this is going to be hilarious. And there are, and don't get me wrong, it's funny. But then it's really intriguing on how he, because everybody thinks he's a joke, but everything he does has a meaning as a coach, how he can break through or get through to these guys and get them to play as a team. And it's a really interesting show. There's only like 10 episodes in the first season. Now I didn't watch all of those this weekend. I was kind of spreading it out, but I finished it this weekend. And I was pretty good. A buddy of mine kept telling me, you got to watch the show. Got to watch the show. I don't know, man. So I finally gave in and watched it because I had the time. And I enjoyed it, and I suggest it. You mentioned football. Talking about this weekend, I worked a little bit on our vMix for football. And basically, Aaron, I'm starting from scratch.
Oh, dear. Well, that's a tough break.
Nah, it's fine. It needed to be done. So, to get it better organized and less stressful on my end. So, that's what I'm doing. So, we're getting ready for football. Should be fun.
It's just right. It's almost right here. I mean, it really, really is.
Hey, can I give a shout out? I forgot to do this on Friday.
Yeah.
And I know everybody will be okay with this. If you know Ricky Snoder, Snoder Alignment and Tires over in Canute, he helped us out Thursday. I sent you a picture. My wife ran over a screwdriver.
Yeah.
And I mean, impaled the tire. Don't know how she even got home without that tire exploding or going full on flat. She's panicking. I said, well, listen, just call Ricky and see if he can get it over there. She did. He fixed it the same day and didn't even charge us. He said, don't worry about it. I mean, he saved the tire, didn't have to buy a tire. And he's a great businessman. Give him a big shout out.
Well, that's
awesome. If you ever have tire trouble, go check him out.
Very awesome.
And I thought, man, he's not going to charge us. I'm gonna throw him a shout out.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. How was your weekend?
It was good. We went down to Texas, hung out at Paradise, which is what Wyatt calls our friends Nancy and John's house. Their backyard is a lot like Paradise.
Paradise,
it's,
I like it.
Got a pool, and it's got a nice covered patio where you can just kind of hang out. And the weather, it was surprisingly lacking humidity, at least on Friday, because it always seems to me like down that way, you know, you walk outside and just start sweating. Or at least I do.
You know, any little bit south.
It was really nice Friday. And then Saturday I got up and played golf at Georgetown Country Club. They were great. Everybody there, it reminded me of here. You know, you'd see, we'd go past people, which I didn't know the guy I was playing with did, and they would give each other a hard time. and then we'd get over and hang out in the restaurant or whatever, and same thing was going on. Everybody giving each other a hard time. So it was a lot of fun. Golf course is fun. It's a super short one, but it's tricky is not the right word. I mean, you just have to know where to go, because the difference between 5 or 6 yards right, left, up the fairway, back down the fairway, make a huge difference because of the way that the thing is routed, and there's trees obviously placed strategically to be in the way on some holes. Like there's one hole was a par five. I hit it. I was in the fairway, but I was in the left side of the fairway, which there was the river, the San Gabriel River. I think the guy told me that you cross it 14 different times.
Like you shoot over it, or
it just goes around. I mean, it's always somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you hit it over it, it's right next to you. Sometimes it's a little further. Sometimes you have to leave it short of it to go across and that kind of thing. But, you know, it's right there. There's trees there. And so I was 175 yards and had no chance to hit the green. I was too far left because I couldn't hit it up over the trees, over the river to get it to the green on the other side. So then you're sitting there thinking it's a par five. I'm like, what in the world? I'm fixing to have to hit it 40 yards. Just to have a shot, and I'm in the fairway.
Yeah,
just didn't, and so I got stubborn and decided I wanted to hit it 100 yards instead of 40, and I hit it right behind a group of trees that were, I just didn't hit it far enough because there was gaps, there was like stands of trees down through there.
Yeah,
and instead of just literally putting it down the fairway and having, you know, like 130 yards, I wanted to get greedy and hit it further down the fairway so I could have like 80 yards. Problem was, I hit it right behind the trees. And Richard, the guy I was playing with, told me not to. I didn't listen to him. And with age comes wisdom, is all I could say, because he knew what I was supposed to do and I wouldn't listen to him. No, but it was a great time. It was a fun time. We got to hang out. We got to relax.
Good.
And then got home yesterday and thought to myself, wow, we're 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks from it being football season Monday.
Yeah.
When I woke up this morning, like, geez, what happened to the summer? But
right.
Anyhow, here we are. So let's see. That was our weekends. What about Bobby Bowden? It kind of filtered out, what, a week ago or so that he had been kind of sent home on hospice. 91 years old. He passed away over the weekend. You know, he's one of those guys that when you think of, you know, for me, in the time that I grew up and started learning and liking college football, you know, he is one of the main people that pop in my mind. You know, it's funny to me how it's kind of coaches in college football versus players. And maybe it's just because they're here and then they leave. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not a they create some sort of legacy at the schools they went to, but it's not as long lasting as a guy like Bobby Bowden, who was at Florida State for literally my whole lifetime. You know, yeah, for the majority of it. You know, and I think people forget when the Marshall thing happened. He was the coach at West Virginia,
right?
That
right.
helped out and to kind of get that thing back on its feet as much as he could, being the rival or whatever. But his teams finished inside the top five in the postseason AP poll 14 straight years, which is by far in a way the most ever. Do you happen to know who's second on that list? I saw the list today. That's the reason why I know.
That's finishing the top five.
Top five.
Consecutively?
Consecutively. He did it 14
years
in
a row.
There's two guys tied with seven. So half.
Well, you'd have to assume Nick Saban and Bama.
Nope.
Bear Bryant and Bama?
Nope.
I'm going back to the old days. I'm like Coach Bo over at.
One is an old day. One is a nowadays or fairly recent.
Right. Woody Hayes?
Nope.
Oh, you got to help me then. We'll go on forever.
Bud Wilkinson?
Oh, well, that's okay. Going
and the other? Pete Carroll.
Oh, okay.
For 2000-2008. But think of that.
That's something that's not going to. That'd be hard to catch.
Oh my gosh, he's double anybody else.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know,
and before he got there,
You know, it's interesting because you wonder, and I wonder this a bunch about, you know, you hear the stories of the legends that maybe struggle a little bit at times, but they get the patience is there, and then it becomes Bobby Bowden at Florida State.
Yeah.
Or Coach K or Dean Smith. You know, you hear those stories of early on. It's a little bit rocky. People are trying to, you know, drive them out of town. And they get to stay there long enough to really get their footprint. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're what they become. You know, he finished it in the top six two straight years, 79 and 80, which happened to be when they played OU in the Orange Bowl at the end of those seasons. And then he kind of hit a little bit of a lull to start the decade of the 80s, all the way through the 1986 year, where they ended up being really, really disappointing, losing to Florida for the sixth straight year. You know, think about that now. There's no way in the world he would hold on to his job, right?
Yeah.
If you're losing to Florida six straight years and you're kind of struggling around, I just don't see the patience for that.
Well, it doesn't happen now. You know what I mean? You're talking about if you lose that many times to a rival or an in-state school, and you're typically gone. You know, there's no patience for that anymore.
No. So 1987 through 2000, that's the 14 straight years. After going, 5-6 in 86 or something like that. With that loss, it just
Florida State was the 90s. You
know? It really was.
It was them, and I say everybody else. You know, you got your Nebraskas, mm-hmm. Miami's still part of that in the 90s decade, but Florida State was setting the bar for all those teams to.
They were the cool one too.
I
think there's probably a bunch of.
You got free shoes when you went there.
Free shoes, you. I mean, it was funny to read Spurrier's kind of condolences yesterday. I mean, totally classy, but it was still kind of hard to read that without thinking about the free shoes you and all that, but that happens in the moment. But it just, I think there's probably a bunch of kids running around this state right here that took a liking to Florida State. Why? Because the two in-state schools weren't very good.
Yeah.
They had the probation at the start of the 90s. Obviously, Oklahoma was down big time with, you know, through the most of that decade with Schnellenberger and then to the John Blake years, Gary Gibbs was probably better than he got credit for at the time, but he couldn't beat the teams he had to beat, Nebraska, Colorado, Texas. And so I think there's a bunch of kids during the middle of that run, or almost probably until the 2000 game down there in the Orange Bowl for the national title, that liked Florida State.
Yeah.
Because of the in-state schools being down through that period. Right.
Growing up, my best friend, who is now, he always was an OU fan, and he went to OU and graduated from OU and, a season ticket holder. But growing up, you're right, because of that stuff, it was easy to gravitate. Kids do it. It's easy to gravitate to winners.
And it was cool.
And he had a Florida State hat. He loved watching Florida State. It's easy to gravitate to a winner. And they were the cool team in the 90s because of Bobby Bowden.
They were the cool team. They were, you always had the Chief Osceola slamming the flaming spear down, yeah. And the colors were cool. The tomahawk chop was cool. And Bobby Bowden was cool. Super, by all accounts, a super, super good dude. But kind of a cool dude, too. Like, he felt like the cool young grandpa that was, hanging out with the kids or what have you. So, college football definitely lost one of the all-time legends in what he was able to do at Florida State. That run, 28 consecutive bowl appearances, 14 straight years finishing inside the top five in the AP poll at the end of the season. Good luck. I mean, like you said, Saban. Even he's not doing that. Pretty phenomenal.
And, when you start to look at someone's legacy, a coach's legacy, obviously you look at wins and everything you mentioned right there, national championships and conference championships, but coaching tree too. And the first one that comes to mind is Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
Right?
Who else? His sons. I mean,
his sons.
Obviously, Mark Richt was a guy that was with him forever that had success at Georgia.
Right. Yeah,
there was definitely those guys, Bobby Bowden, 91 years old, one of the good guys, for sure.
Yep.
In college football, and thankfully back in a time where some struggles didn't get him out of a job.
Right.
And then he was able to succeed to a level that no one had before, and maybe nobody since,
yep.
As far as being consistently one of the best teams in America.
Yep.
Now, what's going to happen next year?
I don't want to, get too down or anything, but I think it's worth mentioning. We're talking about Bobby Bowden. It's worth mentioning. We lost somebody, a part of the Paradigm.
Yeah, that was
network.
On my list.
Yeah, Mr. Greg Newton, who's helped us out with our Eric Bearcat broadcast, basketball broadcast, a few seasons. And I know he passed over the weekend after dealing with some health issues. And so I want to give our condolences to his family. And I know he's for what he did. I mean, you talk about a man who walked God's path. He was it. And we saw that he passed over the weekend, and we send our best and our well wishes to his family.
Yep, for sure. No doubt about that. Yep. As he was able to give us some good stuff for us with the Eric Bearcats and Lady Bearcats throughout the years of the Paragon TV over there in Eric, for sure. All right, so college football, you always see all kinds of lists. Early, the games of the year, the out-of-conference, the 10 most important, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I want to talk about teams that had subpar years by their standards a year ago who are poised to bounce back this season and be back on the footing that we're used to them being at.
Okay.
And we can talk about whether or not we think it's going to happen, is it going to happen, or what have you. But there's one team to me that fits this bill, and now whether or not they're going to do it or not, we'll see. And that's LSU.
That was number one on my list.
Okay. LSU 2019, they were one of the best teams of all time, offensively especially, with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, all that talent. And they ran through the schedule 15-0, won the title. Then a year ago, 5-5.
Right.
Lost Burrow, lost Chase to COVID, lost some other guys to the draft. And they're poised for a bounce back, but Then you see Miles Brennan, one of the two guys that was in the running in the quarterback derby, he and Max Johnson. Brennan gets an injury, and so now that looks like Max Johnson's job. Now, listen, you know, Burrow burst on the scene, maybe not out of nowhere, but he wasn't touted to be what he ended up being. So that could be the same case with one of these two. But, you know, it was so funny. That 2019 year was the year where you looked up and went, this was the scary thing you always thought about. What happens if LSU, with all that talent across the board, finally gets a quarterback? And they got that in spades with Burrow. So my question is, are they back to normal LSU? Or can one of these guys kind of resurrect that and get Coach O's team back toward the top of the SEC West?
Yeah. Looking at last year's record of 5-5, and you mentioned it, in 19 they had arguably one of the best teams ever produced to put on a field. So I think there's no way that last year's team was going to, outside of, you know, winning a national title and looking at even more dominant than what they did in 19, you know, even if they came out and went 9-1, you know, in that one loss was in the SEC championship game or something like that, that would have been deemed a disappointment in the Bayou, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, but the way they came out being 5-5, and you mentioned why. I mean, you mentioned you lose a lot of great talent to the draft.
What did they have, like 14 guys drafted?
Yeah.
Something like that off of the 2019 team?
Some of your
team?
Best players opting out. The writing was on the wall. It was going to be hard to replicate that. Plus, they lost coaches too. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Aranda leaving, and so
Joe Brady.
So there was going to be, but yeah. So with all that being said, 5-5 is easy to improve on, and you would think LSU a little bit more stable season this year. I think they will improve.
Yeah, I definitely think they improve. It's just the question is how much.
Well, like contenders in the West improve.
Yeah, are they you know, backside of the top 25 good? Are they top 10 good?
Yeah.
You would think that they'd have a winning record, just getting some non-conference.
And here we go. We talk about disappointment. You know, do they improve to the level of what I just mentioned earlier of, okay, let's say they come out and make the SEC championship game. Let's just throw that out there for an example. But they lose that. They get into a New Year's Six Bowl outside of the playoff. Their fan base is going to start screaming for Coach O's head because they're going to be like, oh, man, we should have been in the national title game. We should have won that SEC title game. You should have. That's just how that fan base works, how a lot of those upper-tier teams' fan base works anyways.
That'd be a pretty good – I mean, I get what you're saying and agree it probably would happen, but that's a good bounce back.
Oh, absolutely. The rational fan should go, hey, we're okay. Last year was an anomaly. Mm-hmm. We're okay.
Which, by the way, I don't think that's going to happen. And
I
so,
said rational fan and LSU.
No. I don't think
that doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen either. But I don't think that bounce back to that level is going to be there.
No.
And I think what you're going to see is Coach O equals Gene Chizik.
Yeah.
Had the one special year with the one special quarterback, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
I just don't. He fits down there. He is a Cajun guy through and through.
Absolutely.
But I just don't. The fit is great, but I don't see it. I don't see it long term. I just don't see it long term. And the coordinator thing is a big deal. Losing Orlando to Baylor, losing Joe Brady to the Panthers in the NFL, and he replaced it with Steve Ensminger, who was kind of the play caller for Joe Brady. Turned out it was harder to call plays without him there. And then Bo Pelini. I mean, what is the man, Bo Pelini keeps on being around and keeps on failing.
I know.
It's pretty amazing.
He's supposed to be a really likable guy.
It doesn't seem like it either. That's what's weird.
I know.
Now, the guy on Twitter, what is that? It's a parody account. And it's funny, like Bo Pelini's cat or something like that. Now, that's funny. He is enjoyable. He'd be fun to be around.
Kind of like our Blink and Riley.
Yeah, just not sure if the real guy is that. another team, I think, inside the Big 12. Just mentioned Dave Aranda a second ago.
I'm going to go with
Baylor.
The second
team. Are you?
Yeah.
Quarterback, that's the thing they got to find. Is it Zeno? We saw him against OU in the coming in for Charlie Brewer in the Big 12 title game back in 2019.
Yeah.
And he had a cannon. He wasn't sure where it was going sometimes.
Yeah.
And we also saw Gary Bohannon and all in that same game. All three quarterbacks were there after, you know, Brewer started and got knocked out. If they can find steady – quarterback play, I think Baylor is the team in the Big 12. Maybe not clear to the top in trying to get into the Big 12 title game, but after a 2-7 year last year, I think you're definitely looking at 6-7 wins if Baylor can find a steady quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. You know, without OU's resurgence of a defense, the defense, because the offense kind of struggled against Baylor last year, and it turned a lot of people's heads. Like, well, you know, Baylor's still, they're still a force to be reckoned with, even though they did go 2-7. So it's hard to see them doing that again this year. I think they got better coaching than what that record reflected, and then the players that you mentioned. I can see them, you know, obviously getting a better record, but I can see them. I'm trying to think who, you know, they could probably beat Texas. TCU would always be a fun game. I mean, they're going to be a team you're going to have to be ready for.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about quarterback play. Can they find some?
Yeah.
And that's not normally been the problem down there.
No, it hasn't.
They've really kind of, ever since RG3, they've had pretty steady to really great quarterback play throughout most of that time.
Right.
So
it's an interesting discussion to have.
Yeah.
With all this.
We'll get further into it. For sure, as we get approach college football season. It's time for the Barber Dyson Ford Traber segment. Mondays, Jim comes on and visits with us, and it's brought to you by Barber Dyson Ford. They're celebrating 27 years of being your truck headquarters, Western Oklahoma, the Texas Panhandle, and also we're congratulating them on receiving their two service awards, that President's Award and the Ford Elite Award, with the great customer service they provide out there at Barber Dyson Ford. Joining us now is the man you're going to hear at 2 o'clock this afternoon, the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
What'd you say? Good, guys. How are you? What'd you say, 27 years?
27 years.
That's that's how long I've been on the radio. It's unbelievable.
It's kind of some symmetry there with you coming out on their 27th anniversary.
That's a big word. I'm using a big word.
Who's won more awards, Barber Dyson or you? I wonder. That'd probably be a close tie.
It's them. I haven't won any daggone awards. I mean, I do get picked for like those lists and everything. But as far as awards are concerned, I don't know.
That's an honor.
I think there's a lot of people that are mad at me because I keep fighting for Al Eschbeck to get into Hall of Fame. So maybe they don't like me. So whatever.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting conversation last week when you talked about that, and then kind of why not. It didn't make a whole bunch of sense to me.
Well, here's the deal, guys. I mean, I was talking with my wife about this the other day, and when she agrees with me, then I know I'm right. If Al Eschbeck would have been a 45-year coach that was unbelievable, then you know he'd be in. If he was a 45-year TV host, right, if he'd been doing sports for 45 years on TV, he'd be in. So why isn't he in? If he was a referee for 45 years, he'd be in. Heck, the dude that got in was 14 years in the NFL. If Al Eschbeck was from Oklahoma and had 45 years in the NFL, he'd be in. So I don't know. I do know the guy who runs it, Mike James. He's a great guy, and I got his phone number, and I am going to call him and just kind of talk to him. I don't want to have him on the air because I don't know. I don't want to, like, you know, come after him or anything because, like I said, he's a great guy. But I just, fellas, I'm just telling you, it's time, and it has started, but it is time for sports talk radio around the country to start getting some credit. That's all I'm saying. And Al got into the Broadcaster Hall of Fame, which was about time. He got into the Journalism Hall of Fame. And now they need to complete the trio and put him in the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame. Pretty simple for me, guys. Don't you guys agree?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, when the why not was, well, he's in those other Hall of Fame. Well, okay. You put him in this one, too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Whatever. And we got a lot of great people in there. I mean, we do. And I, of course, you know me. I'm not a big women's basketball person, but you know, what's her name getting in? She spent 4 years here in Oklahoma. I mean, great. She was a tremendous basketball player, but she spent 4 years in Oklahoma and did a really nice job in women's basketball. So, yeah. By the way, I was listening this morning. Stephen A. Smith and them were going. They were talking about the USA basketball team. And then Molly goes, we got to also give it up to the women's basketball team. And she went to UConn. And she goes, we had 5 UConn players on it. They were all like, oh, yeah. Oh, you're right, man. They won 7 gold medals in a row. You know why no one talks about it? Because nobody watches it. Okay, I'll shut up.
That's exactly right. I wanted
no,
to
it's
talk.
True, isn't it?
Yes, it's true. It's 100% true. I want to talk about the men's basketball. I thought it was really fascinating to watch these guys and kind of the way that they had to change their games and their demeanors because And even Damian Lillard talked about it after the tournament was over. How much easier it is to score in the NBA because, you know, there's bailouts. It's not near as physical. I just really enjoyed watching those guys. Had to have to kind of fight through some adversity as opposed to just getting sent to the free throw line all the time like they do back here.
I couldn't agree more. I'm telling you this, guys. I know that it would never happen, and I understand why, because, you know, it's like the baseball deal where try to speed the game up for the casual fan. Well, the casual fan wants the NBA to run them down. It wants, you know, 132, 125. And I like that, too, don't get me wrong. But this seemed to me like it was more pure basketball. You know, it really did, man. And you're right, they did have to get used to it. And here's the other thing, too, fellas. After Popovich decided to stop trying to teach these kids like they were 18 years old, like he was some great basketball coach, and he is, I think the last three or four games, I think Pop was just like, well, you know what, just go ahead and play. You're the best team in the league. I mean, you're the best team in the country. And, of course, that's what they did, and they went and won. So I was a little bit hard on him like everybody else was in the beginning, so I got to give it up to him. But I would hope that Popovich would never coach his team again, guys, because I just thought that, if you watch them play at the beginning of the tournament, at the end of the tournament, one of the things of the difference would be what you said, Skinny. The other would be that Popovich stopped trying to coach him so daggone much.
I mean, really and truly, how hard is it to just go, okay, Draymond, screen, Kevin, shoot? You know, it turned into that simple there, especially toward the middle of the first half when the USA built that lead over France in the gold medal game. It was, Kevin, do it. I mean, we all can see that that's what you need to be doing anyway, right?
Right. Yeah. You don't need to be running a bunch of plays and everything. I mean, you know, just give the ball to the great. And I'll tell you something. I know a lot of people around here can't stand the guy, but my goodness, fellas, Kevin Durant is, you know, if he wouldn't have gotten hurt and he wouldn't have done the weak move that everybody rips him for, we'd be talking about him, in my opinion, up there with, you know, the top two or three of all time. His skill set for how big he is incredible. It really is. And then to come back from the injury, and obviously this is, you know, medical technology, but for him to come back from that injury and be, is he better now? He looks like he might be better. It's crazy.
I thought it was pretty interesting also to your point and how much that maybe he has bounced back from the move from here to Golden State and how much he was criticized by that. They kept referring to the team that was built around him because he is the one that said he would play. Otherwise, a lot of those other guys wouldn't have been there, but they wanted to play with him, and so they went ahead and went over to Tokyo with him.
Yeah, he is he's off the charts. And, you know, that wasn't our best team, obviously. There were people that we could bring over. But it is fun. It is fun to see some, you know, everybody says the world is getting closer, and they are. But I like what someone said a couple of weeks ago. They said, but not one team is getting that real close. They're getting better. There's no doubt about it. But there's no team like this team right here. If you took that team right there and let them play together and practice and blah, 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 they'd win the NBA championship, right? Or it'd have a great chance. There's not any other team, France, Australia, none of those teams are winning an NBA championship. So it's really, really, really impressive what Kevin Durant did and how they won the thing. But it was fun. I agree with you, Skinny. It was fun to see a different brand of basketball. And, you know, my boy Matt Ravis, I got to give him credit. You know, he said it a couple weeks ago. He said, everybody talks about how, like, soft the Europeans are. That isn't soft basketball that we were watching, guys. I mean, that was – they were getting after it. So it was fun. And I got to give it up to Doncic, too, for taking his team single-handedly. Of course, Dragic was there, too, but – a team that had never been there, and he fought with the rest of the boys. So it was good stuff. I'm sorry, guys. I wasn't buying another daggone streaming service. I didn't get Peacock, okay? So I didn't watch every single game live. I watched a lot of other stuff. I will tell you this, though, guys. Some of those sportsmen, I mean, team handball, water polo, even field hockey. Did you guys watch any field hockey?
I watched some. Yes, I did. We were talking. I was in Texas this weekend, and one of the where I was staying, the guy he was quizzing me about field hockey. He said he fell in love with watching it in this Olympics.
You know, when I was in high school, field hockey. There is no field hockey. Nobody plays field hockey around here. But back east, every high school has a field hockey team. It's all girls, though, you know, women. And one time we had like a, I don't know, it was for charity or something, where us as the football players played the women in field hockey. And I'm left-handed, okay? I'm going to tell you what, dude, I got like 20 penalties in the game because it's so hard for me when the ball's on my left-hand side not to hit it with the wrong side of the stick. But those guys, man, that was really, really cool. I thought it was really cool. So I love the Olympics, both winter and summer. And I'm sad to see them go, but it was cool to have them for a couple weeks. Now we get ready for football.
Yeah, let's talk about a real sport now. did you watch the Thunder NBA Summer League game last night? And if you did, what did you think about Josh Giddey and his 5 minutes of play?
He had a wonderful slam. Then he had a horrible three. Obviously, he openly admits he's not a shooter. You can't really you can't tell a lot from these games. I could tell that Maladon is way ahead of these people. Maladon was the best player on the floor, and I thought the kid from Villanova looked pretty good. But it was okay. I watched it only for one reason. That's because I do a radio show. If I wasn't doing a radio show, I probably wouldn't have watched any of it. But it's cool to see some of these youngsters, just like watching the Steelers against your Cowboys. By the way, once again, the Steelers beat the Cowboys. Doesn't matter when it is, what time of year, they always beat the Cowboys. But anyway, I just like to watch some young kids and see how they do. I thought that Cade Cunningham looked pretty good at times, so it was cool to watch. I will say this. I don't understand why the Serb is not playing. I know Sam Presti explained it, but it was one of those deals that we've had for years and years that Sam Presti will explain something to us, and we know less than we knew before he said something. So I don't know why he's not playing, but whatever.
Yeah, that's I understand why sometimes those guys don't, but he's not on that level of guys that don't need to be down there. It feels like the more he can play, the better off he's going to be. You mentioned the Cowboys and the Steelers. With the NFL, over the weekend, Mike Zimmer's upset with the practicing, the Lamar Jackson stuff. Are you surprised that the NFL hasn't kind of changed a little bit of the testing for these players? I mean, I know they say if you got the vaccine, you only have to be tested a certain amount of times. Are you surprised they're even testing them at all with the push that the NFL itself has given for people and their players especially to go out and get that vaccine? I would have assumed at some point they would kind of go, okay, if you got it, we don't have to test you anymore at all.
Dude, I am not surprised with anything in the vaccines, okay? I mean, I don't know about y'all, and of course people call me stupid on the radio, so I guess I am stupid. I don't understand any of it. Julie just read, just before I came on the air, she read me this thing because I have a couple of daughters that are not vaccinated. One of them got it, and they're both incredibly brilliant young ladies. You know what I like, guys? This is what I like. I like that I am seeing some players, and frankly, one of the people, I can't believe I'm saying this, is DeChambeau, which we got to talk about, guys, because that was a wonderful falling apart there. But you know what I'm happy about? That we still live in the United States, because I was starting to think that we don't live in the United States. She read me an article about the head of the CDC. She came right out and said that the vaccine does not prevent you from getting it. Weren't we told that that's what it was?
Yes.
I mean, we were told, get the vaccine, and you'll have a much, much, much less chance of getting it. Now we're being told, well, the vaccine makes, if you do get it, then your symptoms aren't as bad. Like, one of my daughters got in an argument with my sister-in-law the other day, and guess what? My daughter said, I got the disease, and I didn't have bad in the first place. So I don't know how it can get any better. So as I'm not making much sense right now, nobody's making any sense, guys. It doesn't. So the NFL is saying all these things. I don't know if you saw the guy from the Dolphins. He just came out and said, look, I'm not going to get it. I'll do what I'm supposed to do so that I don't get fined, but I don't want to get it. And that should be the way it is, right, guys? I mean, we do live in the United States, right?
I certainly would think so, but it's just not the way this is going. You know, and it's interesting to me the difference in the coverage of Kirk Cousins, who comes out and says he's not going to get it and explains why. And then, you know, Lamar Jackson, he's had the dang thing a couple of different times. He's not going to get the vaccine. But, you know, one of those guys is vilified and the other one is kind of celebrated. And people see right through that. You know, most normal Americans see right through what's going on there with the way that those two guys are being covered. And it's just kind of sad because, to me, you're right. If you're, I get that they're your employer and there's certain rules there that maybe you have to follow or you do something else. But at the end of the day, the NFL, this is one of the ways that I think they can actually kind of, they're never going to destroy their brand, but this is one of the ways that they can really, really hurt it, I think, is by kind of forcing some of this stuff upon certain guys and maybe not others.
Well, I just don't know. I mean, I'm just still trying to figure out. I mean, I got the vaccine. I'm trying to figure out why did I get it. Now, of course, I'm older. I have diabetes. So, okay, I understand. I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to go to the hospital and get sick or die or anything. But I wonder why. Why are they wanting, like, 18-year-olds to get it? I mean, I don't understand it. I'm really kind of lost. And the NFL, they get after it. They do what the heck they're going to do. That's exactly what they do. They're going to do what they want to do, and I'm just happy that they're not like getting rid of some of these players, right? I mean, I can see all over the country there's businesses that are saying if you want to work for us, you got to get the vaccine, and I'm just happy the NFL's not saying sorry, Lamar Jackson, if you don't want to get the vaccine, you can't play. I mean, what if they decide to do that? And by the way, guys, I could have predicted this, and I think I might have at some point, but I guess there's another variant coming that's even worse than the Delta one. That's what I'm hearing. So what's that one called? The Sigma or something? I can't even remember.
Yeah, Lambda. Maybe Lambda.
Lambda. Yeah. There's one coming that's even worse. So isn't this what we hear about flu strains all the time too, guys?
It is. It's weird how that works, isn't it? On the field, you know, did you take anything from your Steelers or the Cowboys? You know, it was fun to see Micah Parsons on the field, I guess, as a Cowboys fan. With the fumble recovery, is moving around after not playing for a whole year or whatever. But I don't know how much you can take either side other than the kickers were terrible in the first half.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there were two guys that impressed me, Parsons and Highsmith for the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about him last year when he came in for Bud Dupree. And they went out and got – what's the guy's name they got from San Diego? Help me, fellas.
Melvin Ingram.
Yeah. They went out and got him, which is cool with me. I mean, they didn't spend much money on him. We'll see if they can catch a little bit of lightning in a bottle. But I think Highsmith is going to be a really good player. So those were the kind of things. I mean, you know, poor James Washington. He's on the outside looking in. I mean, I understand why he wants to be traded because they got some really good wide receivers that I just don't think he's going to play much. And good for him. I hope he goes somewhere and can play somewhere. I have heard some great things in camp about Haskins. I mean, remember, guys, this dude was a number one pick, mm-hmm. a high number one pick. And he obviously mentally didn't know what he was doing when he first got to the Redskins. So, you know, you take a little, you know, take a chance on him. I think that there's a lot of talk up here, up in Pittsburgh, that he could become the second team quarterback over Mason Rudolph. And let's bow down to Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph's made a lot of money. You know, he's not a great, great NFL quarterback, but he's a really solid backup, kind of like a Brandon Weeden, although I think Brandon Weeden was better than Mason. But, I mean, you can't tell a whole bunch. You know that, guys. But I do think that there were a couple players here and there. By the way, Najee Harris is a tremendous stud, is he not? I mean, that dude is just – I don't know if they're going to block for him. If you put him behind the Steelers' line of about 4 years ago, remember, 4 years ago, fellas, they had the number one offensive line in the league. And then suddenly it's just crumpled. But if you put him behind that type of offensive line, I mean, that kid is big time. So I still don't like that they drafted him first, but whatever. We'll see if they can do anything. The Steelers' defense is going to be really good, and the Cowboys' defense will be a question mark. But I do think the Parson kids help them a lot, man. I really do. He's going to really help them.
Yeah, that's he looks the part, even in his, you know, first NFL action there. Let's switch to the college football. The big news, obviously, around here for the last couple of weeks has been the OU and Texas thing going down to the SEC. What are you hearing for the other eight? Because it feels like to me, Bob Bowlesby's on one track, and everybody else ought to be on a separate track, and that is Bob Bowlesby's trying to keep the Big 12 together to be able to get the money out of those two schools that are leaving, and everyone else ought to be figuring out where they can go because the Big 12 isn't going to be a viable conference moving forward in this landscape of college football.
Well, let me tell everybody, if there's any OSU fans out there listening, okay, you know how people say send a letter to your congressman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you're an OSU fan, you need to send a letter or an email or a fax. Do people fax anymore? I don't even know if they do. Send it to somebody of power at OSU and tell them, do not do this alliance that they're talking about with the Pac-12. You know what this alliance is? This is a beautiful thing, man. And you see this in life, okay? I remember that there were a couple of kids that I went to high school with that, let's just say, were from like the other side of the tracks, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. right? And people always wanted them to be a part of their teams and things because both of them were tremendous athletes, but they really didn't want anybody to know that they were a part of their team. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yes.
This is what the Pac-12 is saying, okay, yeah, let's do an alliance with these Big 12 teams. That'll get us into the central time zone. That'll get us into Texas. By the way, Oklahoma City is not, what are they like? We're like the 35th market. It's not like they're, you know, terrible. It's not like we're going into Wichita Falls or anything. So they're going to get into some good markets. Oh, and by the way, they're not going to pay a bunch of money to these teams. It's just going to be, let's schedule some games and we'll have an alliance. This will be the worst thing that could ever happen to Oklahoma State. I mean, I guess maybe the worst thing would be if they had to go to the AAC. But this is bad, guys. Oklahoma State needs to forget about the Big 12. Now, I mean, obviously they're going to play in it for at least another year. But they need to forget about that, okay, and get moving on getting in, becoming a member of the Pac-12. Because all this alliance does is bring in more money for the Pac-12 and in the long run, less money for these teams of the Big 12. I think this is a massive mistake if OSU even thinks about agreeing to this. Now, Bob Bowlesby wants to do it because he wants to keep getting his paycheck. What's he making, about $3 million a year? I mean, you know, of course he's going to keep it. He wants to keep his paycheck. So I don't like this at all. This is one of those deals where they tell you it's good for you, but it really isn't.
So, you know, I was trying to think about back in 2010 when all this conference realignment stuff started and we all kind of thought the Big 12 was going to fall apart then, and it didn't. I was trying to remember the percentages of teams that had to kind of be gone before the conference would dissolve. And the reason I say that is it just going to take one? Because it feels like West Virginia, any second now, you can see a report, oh, they're going to the ACC.
That's my prediction.
I mean, is that just, or is the only thing keeping that from happening right now the fact that Notre Dame isn't willing yet to become a member of the ACC with West Virginia, that'll get that conference to 16 and then everything just falls apart?
You would think so. I mean, I don't know how in the world. Look, I don't know how they're going to come back with eight teams. I don't know. I mean, to make it seven, you know, there was that erroneous report last week that Kansas is going to go to the Big Ten. It might have been erroneous, but I still think that's a chance. You know, great school, great basketball. Obviously, the football is horrific, but I don't know how much they care. They brought in Rutgers.
Right.
Right? I mean, the Big Ten brought in Rutgers. Why? Because it's a really solid school, it's a state school, and they wanted to get into the New York City market. So, by the way, I don't know if anybody in New York City watches Rutgers. I mean, I doubt it. But, you know, they can just at least tell those people, hey, we got more TVs. But, yeah, I wish it would just happen today. I really do. I just wish that it would break up. I'm tired of hearing about it. I've never been a huge Big 12 fan. I understand that it's done pretty well. I think Al is back this week. I can't wait to see what he has to say about this. Because, you know, we had a bunch of arguments many, many times about the Big 12. And I don't know how Al can argue that obviously OU and Texas didn't want to be in the Big 12 anymore, right? So I don't know, man. I can't see this. I've made the prediction that before the end of the football season, West Virginia is going to make an announcement that they're leaving. I hope that happens so we can stop worrying about the daggone Big 12 and worrying about OSU, because I don't care about the other schools. I care about Oklahoma State. And I just hope that Oklahoma State can get somewhere. And to me, the ideal thing would be OSU, Texas Tech, TCU, and Houston. That would be that four go in, get an eastern side of the Pac-12 with Colorado, Utah, Arizona State. I think that would be the perfect thing, fellas. I really do. They're not bringing in Baylor. Baylor is way too Christian for those people out there in the West, on the West Coast. And I think that would be the perfect thing, guys.
Yeah, that makes tons of sense. And you're right, Baylor, it feels like they're, at the end of the day, when all the cards are on the table, they're going to be the ones that are going to be left sitting there with nothing out of those eight schools that remain. Last question I've got. Over the weekend, one of the, you know, growing up at the time that I did, Bobby Bowden was one of the central figures of college football. 14 straight top five finishes. That's something that I don't think there's any way anybody's ever going to get to that again. Just talk about the legacy that he left and the way that he left college football better than when he started coaching it.
By the way, Jared, you know, I'm one of those dudes that look older than I am. Skinny's the same way. I just thought I would. Guy, the other day, you remember Lane? I guess he taught you, but he said he was like 22 and you were
yes.
in high school.
Yeah, you know Lane Jones, about? Absolutely.
Yeah, he owns that HTO out uh-huh. there. Tremendous dude. But he said he taught you, and I was like, what? Because he literally, I'm sorry, looks 5 years younger than you do.
Yes, he was a student. He did a student teaching my senior year for the on the basketball squad. He was out here. He really was.
Oh, that's beautiful. What was the question? I can't remember.
Bobby Bowden.
Too early in the morning. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, man. This dude was unbelievable. And just a gentleman, one of those southern gentlemen, and could just coach his tail off. Yeah, he's one of the best of all time. That run that they have, how many years? I know you know. How many years was it that
14.
They ended the year in the top five?
14.
That's absurd, man. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, Alabama hasn't even done something like that with Saban. There were a couple of years where they were outside the top five. So he was an amazing coach, had it rolling down there. I'm sure that Florida State people right now are drinking because, one, he passed away, and two, because they're not anywhere near that. Same thing's going to happen when Osborne passes away at Nebraska. You think about those guys, Skinny. Of course, Jared's a baby. But you think about those.
I'm not that young. I don't like you saying that.
Well, because you look young. Well, Skinny and I look old, and you look young.
I told somebody asked me, I just had a birthday. They said, how old are you? And I told them, they go, oh, man, you're older than I thought you were. I'm getting that response.
Because you look younger.
I just.
What are you
I'm
like
not
a
that...
woman? You can't tell it. Well, tell us how old you are. You like a woman? How old are you?
I'm 38.
Oh my gosh, you're such a baby. I thought he was going to say 46 or something.
No, no.
38. What are you talking about, dude?
38.
40 is getting close.
I do think it's interesting. I do think it's interesting though when you bring up Osborne. With those two guys, kind of similar paths, it being they were super, super, super successful, never were able to win the national title until they did, and they did it in back-to-back years.
Yeah, that is crazy. And the other thing that's the same is that both of their programs stink now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So you're great. So Jared, you're 2 years away from 40, dude. I'm like, I am 6 months away from 60. Okay? 60.
Well, you look younger than 60.
When you guys were young, didn't you think since 60 was just ancient? Oh, my gosh. If somebody said, yeah, my dad's 60, I was like, well, he's in a wheelchair. Is he okay?
Yeah.
By the way, I played took the whole family to pickleball this yesterday. My baby daughter was in town, so I got all my daughters and all my grandbabies and son-in-laws. And you guys, I don't know if you all know this, but, you know, I played tennis when I was young, right? I actually went to the Nationals in tennis when I was 14 years old. I had to give it up because of baseball. Because my mom played tennis, my sister, they both taught. They were great tennis players, so I played since I was young. So I go out there at 59 years old and just pummel my son-in-laws. They don't know what to do. They can't stand it. And so they tried to hit it over my head, and I jumped up and I came down on my knee. And it wasn't the knee I had replaced. It's the other knee. And I got to tell you that I'm not doing very good this morning. So,
oh boy.
I thought I was 38, and I'm actually 59.
I've heard that pickleball is a blast. That place up
it
there,
is, guys. You should go. It is a. It's called Pickle and Chicken and Pickle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
One of the. You should make a reservation and bring your families up there. They'll love it. I will suggest though, get an indoor court because they have outdoor courts and then they have outdoor courts that are covered. And then indoor, and the air conditioning is the ticket, especially for an almost 60-year-old bum like me.
Oh, listen, indoor is the only way to go. I'm just 40, and it's still the only way to go for sure.
Good food. Gosh, you guys are so young. Now, see, he's skinny. Nothing against you, big boy, but if you and Jared line up next to each other, I'm saying you're about 7 or 8 years older than him.
Well, what hair I've got is gray, and there's not very much on it. And then my whole beard is gray, and Jared's just over here blonde-headed as can be.
No, I got a little silver.
Barely even any silver in his beard.
Yeah.
38. You guys are a this is ridiculous. My God. But say hi to the Barbara Dyson people out there. I hope I get to come out and see them again.
I will do. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for being with us. Can't wait to hear you guys at 2. And hopefully you're right. Al is back at 4. Because I can't wait to hear his thoughts.
I thought he was supposed to be back, but I don't know what's going on. I know he's got some amazing. Wait till you hear. You've got to have. Wait till you hear his story. He has got a story that is going to blow you away. This is one of the greatest stories he's ever had. I can't tell you what it is, but you're going to want to listen.
Okay. We'll be listening for sure. If it's not this Monday, it'll be next Monday. But thanks for joining us, and have a great day.
That'll be the greatest radio tease of all time if it's next Monday.
Yeah. It'll go on for 2 weeks. It'll be great. All right, Jim, have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks,
all
right, Jim.
Fellas. See you guys.
See you. That is the ultimate Jim Traber. We're going to have to get out of here.
Yeah, we could do 2 hours of that guy.
Oh, easily. Easily. And I heard them talking about the owl story. I can't wait to hear it. Because he's got some pretty good
ones.
So
you have an idea what it is?
No, no clue.
Oh, wow.
They just
okay.
said just exactly what he just said. It's the best story he's ever had.
I hope he's here today. Awesome.
Either today or next Monday, hopefully. Anyway, everybody have a great day. Football practice starting. Drink plenty of water.
Yes.
We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.